going to go ahead and just stay in our stance before the Lord right now. And dear Father, we are so hungry and so thirsty for you. Many times we don't even know the depths of our thirst. But you are gracious and you are good and you are patient and you wait. And I just thank you for giving us this place tonight. I thank you for giving us this time. I thank you for protecting our time that we could be here to know you more, dear Father. I just pray that just the Holy Spirit fills this place and just reveals to us the truths of your word, dear Father. I pray that as we sit and we study this scripture, that we will literally take it as our own and that we will question ourselves, we will question our motives, and that we will allow you to change us in this moment and in this time. Dear Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been so encouraged these first 11 days of, goodness gracious, Ashley girl, you are a tall woman. Let me just share that with you. Been so encouraged these last 11 days of January, our new year, as I have received emails and voicemails and conversations of women just telling me their desires to know Jesus Christ more deeply, their desires to really study the Word of God this year. And it has just encouraged my heart to know that we're all going after that same goal of knowing Jesus more. And this semester is going to be so exciting because we're going to go through this time of experiencing Him, as these emails that I've gotten of them saying, I want to experience Jesus Christ in every moment of my day. I want to know Him, and I want Him to give me that comfort in my times of need. And I desire to know His promises so that I can have His hope in my future. And we're going to be looking at that this semester as we really look at the profile of a disciple. We are going to go through and see what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we're going to start tonight with really questioning, what are you seeking? What is your intent? What is it that you want from Jesus Christ? And really what the core of that, what the core of our intentions are really going to tell us where we go this year into our relationship with Jesus. Many of you set goals. When we start our New Year's resolutions, whenever we're at the end of December, moving into January, a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. Anybody in here make New Year's resolutions? A few people kind of threw up those hands because we're afraid to even speak it anymore, right? Because if we speak it and then we fail, we get through like to January 15th, and it's all downhill from there. But many people set goals. They set goals as families. They set goals individually. They set goals for their job and for work. And many of you may have set a goal of losing 20 pounds. And your intent with that is to get skinny or to get healthy, right? Others of you, you set goals to learn a foreign language. Maybe it's Spanish or Chinese or French, right, Petey? And your intent with that is to know how to ask for the restroom when you go on vacation this summer. Amen? No, your intent with that is to be able to have conversation with someone else that speaks that language. I know for me, I desire to be able to speak Spanish so strongly because I meet women every day that speak Spanish, and I feel like I have a handicap because I can't get into their life and I can't know them. And so we set those goals for ourselves. Another really popular goal is to have less time in the office and more time with our family, right? And the intent of that is to be able to enjoy life. We come to that place where we say life is too short, and I want to enjoy every moment, and I want to be intentional with that. So we set these goals, and we set them because we have an intention for what they're going to do for our lives and how we're going to become. And so I want us to look tonight as we get started into our new year and as we question what it's going to look like in that deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, I want us to look and question our intent. And so we're going to be in John 1. We read that scripture earlier. If you'll pull out your Bibles, John 1 verse 35 is where we're going to start. If you look at that, it says that John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God!" Exclamation point. Behold the Lamb of God. Look at that man that is walking across there. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb that takes away all the sins of the world. Behold, look upon him. Gaze at him. And so John speaks out this exclamation of the Messiah, the Savior. And I just immediately, what I saw with that is John is a great leader. And he had many followers with him, but he never points to himself. He always points to Jesus Christ. And as I just began studying the scripture, immediately God let me know, and I believe desires for you to know, that as he builds you up as a leader, as he places you in your circle of influence, as he puts you in to influence others in your community, in your family, in the workplace, he desires for us never to be tempted as a leader to put ourselves on a pedestal. You always point to Jesus Christ. You always send them to the one. In 2 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9, it says there that we are just servants, that we are assigned by God to do his work. It says that he has a field and we are a worker in that field, that it is Christ, it is God who gives growth. We might be there to plant, we might be there to water, but it is God who grows it. We are just the instrument. We are just the vessel. And so as God raises you up, he desires for you to always point to Jesus Christ. As he is changing your life, as you are growing deeper in him, as you begin to testify, you always testify the name of Jesus. And it says here in scripture, it says that John looked at Jesus. It's not just a glance of someone walking by. It is a gaze. He intentionally stares at Jesus. He stares with the curiosity. He looks at him with this steady eye. He is fully focused on this man. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God. See this Jesus. He is the one that is the symbolism of the Passover lamb." In Exodus 12, we study of the Passover lamb, and God tells his people to take a lamb, and he says to kill that lamb and to put the blood, do you remember, on the doorpost. And that whenever he comes over and destroys the Egyptians, they will be saved. They will be protected from the destroyer. And in scripture, 1 Peter 1:19, he speaks of Christ being the lamb without blemish, the lamb without spot. And in Hebrews 10, 1 through 4, it speaks of the Old Testament lamb. He could only cover the sin. He could cover the sin. Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, took away all sin. And John is saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." These men knew Old Testament scripture. They knew to look for the Messiah. And John points him out and he says, "This is him." And then if you look in verse 37, it says, the two disciples that were with John, they heard what he said, and they followed Jesus. They heard, and they followed. They understood the sense of what John was speaking to them. They took in, and they perceived, and they joined Jesus. I love this because when it speaks of following, it's a twofold following. It's a twofold meeting. They physically, they literally walked with him. But then they also became a disciple of him. They call him Rabbi whenever you look into scripture. And they became a disciple. They began to follow his ways. They began to follow his disciplines of life is what that is speaking of there. And so they submit themselves to Jesus. And this is just the introduction of that. As we continue through the semester and we see them continue to walk with God, we continue to see that they believe more. And they believe more
and they believe more. But this is that initial time that they come and they follow Jesus. And as I was studying these verses this past week, I really questioned what made them follow immediately. What do you think made them follow immediately? If you look in the other Gospels and you see as the disciples go with Jesus, they left everything. They left their businesses that they had worked so hard and that they had sacrificed for. And they followed. And I wondered what it was. I wondered and I questioned myself. And I really went back and I questioned, did I follow immediately whenever Jesus called me? Was I an immediate follower or did I hesitate? What about you? Are you still hesitating? Or do you immediately, literally change locations with Jesus? As I was looking through this and thinking and probing just myself and my heart, I really thought that there's two kinds of followers. There's those who are scared half to death to follow because they want full control. They want to fully understand. They want it to be very logical. They want A plus B to equal C. And whenever it gets confusing, then they're just not going to do it. And they're going to hesitate and they're going to step back and they're going to say, I don't know if I'm ready for it yet. And then you have those that follow immediately, that childlike faith that Scripture speaks of, that they just believe. And within that immediate, one of that I really fall under that characteristic of is that they're really tired of trying to live in their own strength. And they give it all up and they say, I'm going to follow. No questions. I give up and I give you all. And I wonder what kind you are. I know for me, whenever I looked back at my life, I didn't follow immediately. I don't think I knew how. And I think that that's really why God produced and birthed Walking in Grace Ministries is just the great desire that I have of discipleship, of bringing people to a place of understanding what it believes to follow, because I didn't know. And so, yeah, I hesitated some whenever I was younger. But as I looked, years, I came to that place where I gave up everything and I put full allegiance into Jesus Christ. But you know, in my prayer that morning, early morning, whenever I said, if you will still have me after everything I've screwed up and after everything I've done, if you will still love me, I am fully yours, but you got to teach me what it looks like to follow because I don't know. And he brought people along beside me. And tonight what I want us to do is everyone in your baskets, we have a little piece of paper in there that says table talk. And you can't look ahead, you overachievers, you type A's. You can only look at table talk number one. And I want you just to talk for a couple of minutes amongst yourselves. It says, what have you been a follower of in the past? It might be you're a follower of a teacher or a professor, or you might be a follower of Oprah, where you TiVo it at 4 o'clock every day and you watch it before you go to bed at night. What are you a follower of? And the second question is, what type of follower are you to Jesus? Are you a hesitant follower, or did you just jump in both feet in? And you said, I'm all yours and I will follow fully and completely. So kind of talk through that amongst yourselves for a few minutes. Okay, so hopefully a few of you were able to share what type of follower you are of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at Jesus as he begins to question the disciples. And we get to see what type of follower that they are. If you'll look in verse 38. We go on to see just what it means to follow Jesus and the results of that intentional pursuit of Jesus Christ. In verse 38, it says, Jesus turned and he saw them following and he said to them, what are you seeking? He immediately goes to the core of their intentions. What's your intent? Scripture tells us that God knows man's heart. And so he makes this statement. I want you to see this. This is not a question. It says that Jesus said, the word said is lego. It means to point out with words. It means to affirm, to teach.
And he's asking them, he's saying to them, if you're looking for a revolutionary leader to overthrow Rome, I'm not him. Why are you following me? What is your intent of being with me? And I wonder what he would say to you tonight, what he would say to me tonight. Melissa, what is your intent? Why are you seeking me? I speak truth and truth alone, and some of that might hurt you. It might be painful for you to hear. Are you following me because you think that I will bring you success? Because you're wrong in that. I'm not a little idol and a little doll that brings success. What is your intent in following me? What is it that you're after? Are you following me because it makes you feel good? Because that's not why I'm here. Are you following me because it thinks that you will make you good? That's wrong. So what is your intent? And he asked the disciples immediately why they are following. Because I believe that Jesus is saying, yeah, I desire for you to be happy. I mean, to be holy. So often we think that God is here just to make us feel good and to be happy. I think that that can be a result. But his prime goal for every one of us is holiness. And in getting to that place, it can be painful. And it can be chipping away at our character. So why do you follow? As you begin your pursuit in 2011, and you say, I want to know Jesus Christ more, what is that core reason? Because if the core reason is because you believe that God wants to make much of you and wants just to show you all the delight, you're going to be disillusioned and you're going to fall. Because what you're doing is setting up your own image of who you think God should be. And how he should just make you happy all the time. And that's not who Jesus Christ is. You follow him because he is holy. You follow him because he is just. You follow him because he is beautiful. That is the core. And then, yeah, you'll get some of those results that just happen of that joy and that blessing that is beyond measure. But that can't be your end result that you're looking for. Does that make sense? And so he's asking us, what is our intent? 2 Timothy 4:3, it warns us that there are going to be people with itchy ears that desire to accumulate teachers around them that just speak what they want to hear. We got to make sure that we're not one of those. Do you go to listen to a Bible teacher or to a pastor because he speaks just what you want to hear and it makes you feel good? Or is he speaking the word of God that is convicting your heart on a daily basis and challenging you to become more and more Christ-like? We know in John 6, we studied it this past semester, when Jesus fed the 5,000 and they came the next day to follow him. It was that selfish desire that they had to be full and to be satisfied. And Jesus said, don't follow me for that. What is your intent? What's the core of your allegiance? I know for me personally, as I studied this and I questioned and I looked at the ugliness sometimes of why I follow Jesus, God just gave me the privilege and the blessing just to rest on some scripture. And I desire to be that Psalm 27:4 disciple. And it says, one thing that I have asked of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of him in his temple. David, the psalmist here, he desired to be wherever God is. He wanted to be amongst him. He wanted to be, as scripture says, under his wing and protected. I want to be that kind of follower of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. We have been given scripture. And in the scripture it says, he wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. We have been given the privilege as believers of Jesus Christ, as children of God. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says brings out and reveals Scripture to us. We have been given the Word of God. And Isaiah says, morning by morning, day after day, I come before the throne and He instructs me. I want to be that kind of follower in 2011. That morning after morning, He instructs my ear and He teaches me. Followers of Jesus Christ pursue Him for His holiness. Look at verse 38. It says, the disciples respond when Jesus says, What are you seeking? They immediately respond by asking, where are you staying? And Jesus replies, come and you will see. Come and you will see. He invites them into His life. He invites them to experience life with Him. I think that this is the coolest scripture. I mean, you guys just put yourselves in the disciples' feet for just a minute. They have studied Old Testament scripture. They have been following John the Baptist, who has been discipling them and teaching them the place of the life of repentance and telling them and making way for the Messiah. They have questioned in their minds who this Messiah is going to be, and all of a sudden they are face to face with the Anointed One. And He's saying, I want you to come and live life with me. I want you to experience this with me. Can you imagine what was going through them at that time? The privilege that they had. He said, come and experience life with me. It's probably about 10 o'clock in the morning at this time, and they go and they stay with Him all day long. I bet He's this charismatic leader that's probably telling them His mission and His plan, and they probably have all these questions, and He answers all these questions, and throughout the day, He probably reveals some things in their heart that they thought was secret and enclosed, and they are sitting face to face with the Son of God. And He does the same thing with you and me. He says, I want you to live life with me. I just imagine with these disciples as they kind of daydreamed, as they kind of began to think about the Messiah, and when John was talking of this man that is here now, that was before me, he is here, that I can't even like be able to be before him. I can only imagine that they thought that they knew Jesus, the Messiah. But what they thought that they knew was just a glimpse of His character. Amen? What we think we know of Jesus Christ when we see Him face to face will be a glimpse of His profound character. We won't be able to take it in. And so they are here with Him, and Jesus says, I want you to know me. I know that whenever we have to do things where we think that we know something, but until we experience it, we had no idea. Amen. Let me give you an example. When I was 18 years old, I made the decision that I was going to go to this big university that was out of state, that was about 8.5 hours away from home. I knew that I was mature enough to handle this huge university by myself. I knew that I had the independence that I needed to be in this place. And it was not until that first day of that first semester that I stepped on that campus that I knew without a doubt, when I experienced life on this campus, that I had no clue, that I didn't even know that I knew of anything like it. Amen? We had to experience it first, right? Let me give you another example. About 3 years ago, I met this woman. She is an owner of a large corporation. She is a leader. She is charismatic. She's an incredible negotiator. She is just a crazy woman in the boardroom. I respected her. Whatever she wanted, she found a way to get it. And there came a time that she decided that could become that next level of friendship. And she began to peel away that professional layer and allowed me to come and see. She allowed me to come into her personal life and begin to know her. And whenever I stepped into that place,
I saw that she lived a life of great pain because of illness. I saw that she lived a life of disappointment because she had been disillusioned day after day. She lived a life of despair. And as I began to experience this person, I began to see her great need and her strong faith for Jesus Christ. And she began to show me just through her actions of her life what it looked like to have hope in Jesus Christ. Because I experienced her, because she allowed me to come and see what I thought I knew, I just had a glimpse of. And she took me into this depth of her personal life, and she let me see the strength of the stronghold of her Savior that literally allowed her to get through her days. You don't know until you experience. We think we know Jesus Christ. We don't know Him until we begin to experience Him every day, until we begin to allow Him into our life, and until we begin to walk with Him in His life. And how do you do that? You do that through studying the Word of God. That's how you know Jesus Christ, is that you study Him in the Word. You must experience it. Rena, we're now going to table talk number two. Table talk number two. And it says, what have you experienced recently that as a result you've grown deeper in knowing Jesus Christ? What have you experienced recently that has given you a new depth of knowledge of who Jesus Christ is? I'll give you about 3 minutes. Okay, let's come back together now. So I want you to continue to think about that as you go tonight and as you go through the rest of the week. What are some things that are happening in your life that you thought that you knew, but now that you've experienced something, you know greater the depths of who Jesus Christ is? With me and this woman that I'm speaking of, I thought I knew God's grace, but as I experienced life with her, I knew in a greater depth of His grace. I knew that what it meant in Scripture whenever He says, my grace is sufficient for any need. And so God allowed me to experience Him through this woman's life, and He took me deeper into knowing His character. And so I want you to begin to think about that in your life and meditate on that and praise God for how He is teaching you. And He will continue to do that if you will seek Him in that manner. Revelation 3, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, if he opens the door, I will come and I will commune with you. God desires to be with you, but just like with the disciples, we have to take action. We have to be the one that opens the door. Like the disciples, we have to be the ones that take the steps. He's waiting for us, but it is a two-way street. We have a responsibility in that relationship. And so that is what Jesus is trying to teach us as we study the Word and see what it is that He is teaching the disciples. It says, the more you experience me, the more that you live life with me, the more that you come and see. That word come and see, it means to physically change your path from one thing to another. And the word see, the Greek word there, let me see if I can find it real quick. Of course, I'm not going to be able to find it. I want to tell you, but I'm not. Oh, here it is. It means to become acquainted with by experience. So whenever you get to that place of seeing, you are experiencing, you are perceiving in a new way. And He's saying, whenever you experience me, you're going to know me more. And I want us just to quickly look in our time that we have left tonight. I want us to look that there are four principles as we continue through this that we're going to learn that's going to happen in our lives as we follow Jesus Christ. And the first thing that we see is that we're going to begin to tell others about our relationship with Him. If you look at verse 41, the first thing Andrew does is he goes and gets his brother. And he tells his brother about Jesus. And Andrew is seen in Scripture three different times. And each time, he is bringing someone to Christ. He's the one that brings the boy with the loaves and the fish, and he brings him to Christ. He's the one, whenever the Greeks say, I want to see Jesus, Andrew's the one who brings
them to Christ. And whenever we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're going to want to tell others about it. Amen? Whenever you have just found the greatest diet plan in the world that works like unbelievably, what do? You tell somebody. Amen? Just this weekend, I got to see an old friend and have lunch with her, and she had lost 28 pounds. And at first, I noticed that she had lost weight. And after a while, she said, "Well, Melissa, I lost 28 pounds. I was like, "I knew you had looked like you lost weight. What are you doing? Fruits, vegetables, and milk. Is that not gross?" But immediately, she had to tell, right? Girls, single girls, whenever you see the greatest guy in the world and you get to spend a day with him and have coffee with him and talk to him and y'all kind of dream dreams together, what do? Immediately, you go and tell a friend. Amen? Whenever we begin to build relations with people, we tell someone else about them. Whenever we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it does not stay within. It oozes out. And we begin to tell others about Him. You are a walking testimony of the never-changing, fully gracious Jesus Christ. And He desires for you to speak that to others. He desires, whenever you experience Him, to go and tell someone about it. 2 Timothy 1:18 says, "Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And 1 John 1:3 says, "What we have seen and what we have heard, we have proclaimed this to you so that you may have fellowship with Jesus Christ." Whenever you are experiencing things with Jesus Christ, you need to tell someone else so that they can have fellowship with Jesus Christ, so that they can be introduced to Jesus Christ. And so we go and we tell. The second thing that we see here, if you look at verse 42, Jesus sees Simon. He says, "So you're the one who is named Simon. You will be named Peter. We will be changed. We will be transformed." He said, "Today you are Simon. In the future, you will be Peter. You will be the rock. You will be a strong foundation." When we are introduced to David, when Samuel is going out to find the next king, we are introduced to this scrawny, the youngest one in the whole family, as a shepherd. And God says, "Today you are a shepherd, tomorrow you will be king." When we're introduced to Esther in the book of Esther, we see that she is an orphan. She is probably wondering if God has completely forgotten His people. And He says, "Today you see yourself as an orphan, you see yourself as forgotten. Tomorrow you will be the one who saves my people." God sees you as you will become. He sees you as your true self. He sees you as the one that He has peeled off the layers, the one that has become authentic. You will be changed. He desires to transform us. This time next year, I hope you look totally different than you do today, because the beauty on the inside of the work of the Holy Spirit so has illuminated you that you are a completely different person. We should never be stagnant. We should never be stale in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a daily transformation of who we are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "You are being transformed into the image of Christ." How does that happen? Whenever you begin to give your body as a living sacrifice to God. It happens whenever you begin to conform yourself to the ways of Scripture and not to the world. It begins whenever you start having a prayer life, whenever you start studying the Word of God, when you become a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ, that transformation will begin to happen. The next thing that we see is the depths of Jesus' love. The depths of His love. If you look at Scripture, if you look at verse 48, we see with Nathanael, whenever he questions how Jesus knows him, and Jesus tells him, Before you even called to come here, I saw you. And I think that that's a reality that you and I need to embrace. Jesus knows us. He created us. Our name is in the palm of our hand. The things that we have done, He knows those things, and He loves us anyway. And He wants us to embrace the depths of His love for us. He says, there is nothing that you can do that will take away my love. And the last thing that we see is that we see God's power in great ways. If you look at verse 50, when Nathanael is so amazed that Jesus knew him and saw him before he even came, was physically introduced to Jesus, Jesus promised Nathanael that he's going to see much greater things than these. And what he's speaking of there, he's speaking of as he begins to walk and live life with Jesus Christ, he's going to see the miracles that we see throughout John. That is what he's speaking of, but he's also speaking of the future and the things that are going to happen in the future. John 14:12, it says, whoever believes will do the works that I do, and even greater works than these will he do. He's speaking of whenever we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we will have the power, the resurrected power of Jesus Christ living in us. And we will do even greater things than the things that we can see in Scripture. I think that we grieve the Holy Spirit because we don't recognize the power that we have. And we always step back away whenever God says, if you would just take that first step forward, you would see my power. But you got to take action first before you see it. You see, in Scripture it says, come and see. It says you got to move whenever you experience me. It's the same thing with His power. You got to take action, and then you will see the power. Whenever the Israelites were coming in, they had to step into the Red Sea before they saw the power of the Red Sea being parted. He says, come and see. And you're going to see greater things than these. Matthew 28:20 says, all authority has been given to you. All authority. And we need to realize the power that is in us that God desires for us to use. So what is your intent for 2011? Why are you seeking Jesus Christ? What are you being committed to towards Him? Oftentimes, whenever we set goals, what do? We tell someone about them so that we can become accountable to it. Amen? If there's something that we really desire to accomplish, we're going to tell our spouse or our best friend or someone in the workplace to say, this is what I want to do and I want to be accountable to that. Will you ask me about this in a couple of days and in a couple of weeks? And so I want us to close out tonight with that. If you'll look at table talk number 3, I want you to look at Matthew 28:20. If you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew 28:20, and I want you to be accountable to what it speaks. So at your table, I want you to talk amongst yourself. What is your intent for 2011? And how will you challenge yourself this year to grow in Jesus Christ? What is your intent? And how will you challenge yourself to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ? I'll give you a few minutes to discuss that. Yeah. If we can just come back together now. Dear Father, we just want to come before you right now. And I thank you that you've given us this time tonight to look at you, dear Father, and to look at ourselves. And I thank you that you're a big enough God to take our questions and to allow us to be those strong-willed children. We thank you for your patience, dear Father. And I just know that we are a people, that we are a group of women that desire to know you more. Dear Father, I know that we want to come to the place this year of being able to say, behold the Lamb of God. I pray that we will be a people that will not just glance at you whenever we have a moment in our day, but literally we will gaze at your holiness and your beauty. Dear Father, I pray that as we leave tonight, that you will just continue to be with us and to convict our heart, and that we will continue to just question our motives, and that we will come to a place of just literally surrendering our year to you, and that we will bow before you and say, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be a follower. I want to be one that literally gives myself and surrenders myself to the disciplines of Jesus Christ. Dear Father, I pray for every woman in this room. I pray that she knows Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Savior. And that she is one of those that desires to be an immediate follower. If there's anyone in this place tonight that has any questions of who Jesus Christ is, dear Father, I pray that they will not leave this place without speaking to one of us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Word of God. We desire for you to transform us and to change us and to make us new. Dear Father, I pray that we will know the depths of your love. And I pray that we will know the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ who lives in us through the work of the Holy Spirit. I pray that each one of us will come before you and say, I desire to be used. I desire to be your instrument. I desire to be the worker in your field. Use me, dear Father. We love you greatly. We gaze upon you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.